Welcome to this episode of our special podcast series, a collaboration between ASTCT Talks and Cancer Network. In each episode, we dive into the latest developments and challenges in the treatment of multiple myeloma, T-cell malignancies, and other pivotal topics in oncology, hematology, stem cell transplantation, and cellular therapy. Join us as we speak with leading experts, uncover new research insights, and tackle key issues facing healthcare professionals today. In this collaborative episode between Oncology on the Go and ASTCT Talks, Dr. Rahul Banerjee from Fred Hutch Cancer Center and Dr. Nupur Rajay from Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center spoke about secondary malignancies in patients with multiple myeloma who receive CAR T-cell therapy. Topics of interest included reports of secondary cancers in clinical trials such as CARTITUDE 1 and strategies for counseling patients on the benefits and risks of CAR T-cell therapy compared with bispecific agents.
Thank you all for joining us for this collaborative episode of Cancer Network, Oncology on the Go, and ASTCT Talks. My name is Rahul Banerjee. I'm an assistant professor of medicine at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle, Washington. Today, we'll be speaking about a topic that has come of intense interest within the last year, namely second malignancies in the setting of CAR T therapy for multiple myeloma. I'm honored to have the chance to discuss this issue with our faculty expert, Dr. Nupur Rajay. Dr. Rajay is the director of the Center for Multiple Myeloma at the Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center in Boston, Massachusetts. She's also a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and the first incumbent of the Rita M. Kelly Chair in Oncology at Mass General Hospital. Dr. Rajay, pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rahul.
Absolutely. So, Nupur, if I may, I should add to the audience listening that Dr. Rajay Nupur is an excellent international CAR-T expert, and she was the first author on the phase one trial of BB2121, leading to the approval of IDA-cel as the first commercial CAR-T therapy in myeloma. And she obviously was similarly asked to present on the benefits of and risks of CAR-T at the recent FDA ODAC meeting that led to IDA-cel being approved in earlier lines as a CAR-T therapy for multiple myeloma. So with that in mind, I think we'll dive into this. I'm sure listeners of this podcast are well aware that this topic of second malignancies after CAR T therapy for any cancer has really come up a lot in the last year following an FDA advisory about this and now a box warning on several CAR T products, including IDA-cel and cilta-cel. I think a lot of the literature has focused on CAR T related or unrelated second malignancies in general across lymphoma, myeloma, leukemia. Myeloma is unique in a couple of ways. One, these patients are older. Two, myeloma is not typically considered curative. And three, unlike in lymphoma and leukemia, these patients are more likely to have had autologous stem cell transplantation and several years of lenalidomide beforehand, which obviously can predispose to malignancy in its own right. So with that in mind, Dr. Rajay, I'd love to just get your thoughts on how do you approach second malignancies with regard to CAR T therapy and myeloma in particular. Like, what kind of goes through your mind when you're asked to talk to patients about this?
Sure. Before we get started on the second malignancies piece, Dr. Banerjee, I just want to highlight the fact that given that we have two CAR products in the treatment of multiple myeloma, that's a huge advance. Obviously, in the world of myeloma, when we start using any experimental approach, it usually happens at the back end of myeloma, that is in the relapsed refractory setting of myeloma. So both of the drug products that you alluded to, IDA-cel as well as cilta-cel, are CAR products targeting BCMA, initially approved after four prior lines of treatment, so heavily, heavily pretreated patients. And more recently, as you pointed out, with KarMMa-3 and CARTITUDE 4, we have these come up in earlier lines of treatment. And as we move these CAR T cells, which are very effective in the treatment of myeloma earlier on in lines of treatment, I think long-term toxicities such as second cancers is obviously very important. It's a discussion that all of us absolutely need to have with our patients. And if you look at the data which is out there, and rightfully so, the FDA came out with a warning earlier this year. There's been some compilation of data from different institutions, and you have a few case reports which have been peppered in literature now, giving us a little more information on second cancers. So I think I will start by talking about CARTITUDE 1, which is the clinical trial with the longest follow-up. And if you look at that data, you know, there were about 10 patients who did develop myelodysplasia or acute leukemias in that subset of patients. Now, that was a heavily pretreated patient population, as you already alluded to, Rahul. These were patients who had probably received high-dose melphalan, and we all know that the risk of MDS with high-dose melphalan is about 3%. So certainly, as our patients are living longer, we are seeing some of these toxicities, specifically development of second cancers like MDS, AML. And at least in the CARTITUDE 1 trial, despite the fact that they had reported on this 10% incidence, you know, it did not seem, there was no evidence that this was necessarily CAR T cell related, because there was no documentation of integration of the CAR construct in the leukemia. Now, more recently, we've seen some of this already, right? There have been case reports of T-cell lymphomas in patients who've gotten CAR T-cells. So actually discussing this, it's a rare, rare complication, but discussing the potential of developing these T-cell malignancies is critically important, and really making a shared decision with a patient after discussing these toxicities is critical to moving these earlier on in the context of all heme cancers.
Absolutely. Very, very well stated. I think, you know, you got alluded to the idea of shared decision making, which is super important. And I love that we're talking specifically about the multiple myeloma, because as you said, every patient's journey is different, but myeloma patients have a different set of risk factors than perhaps lymphoma and leukemia patients do. So when you're talking with patients, you know, how do you go about, how do you factor this box warning into your discussions to patients about CAR T versus bispecific antibodies, for example? Or, you know, if obviously we've talked about this, hard to say with case reports and a lack of a randomized trial, are there scenarios where you may lean towards ide-cel and not cilta-cel, because at least from what we've seen, the cases that have been reported seem to have been primarily with cilta-cel?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to compare, cross-compare between ide-cel and cilta-cel, and I think it's important to refrain from that, only because these were different patient populations. They both had control arms. Progression-free survival of each ide-cel as well as cilta-cel is a little bit different. The other thing is, you know, the constructs are quite different. So the CAR construct for cilta-cel is quite different from that of ide-cel. So ide-cel to date has not reported any T-cell lymphomas or leukemias. There has been cases of maybe a couple of cases of MDS, and that may just be the fact that it's a natural history of myeloma, as we are all pointing to. Now, with cilta-cel, I think we need longer follow-up in the earlier lines of treatment, such as CARTITUDE 4. We have in literature one case report of a T-cell lymphoma. I think it's really important to highlight the fact that when you use treatments such as CAR T-cells, where we are using genetic modulation of the CAR construct, it is theoretically possible that you are going to get that CAR into other cells, which could then predispose them to malignancies. Having said that, you know, there are two case reports, Rahul, as you know. One is post CARTITUDE 4 in a patient who received cilta-cel, and another one with cilta-cel also, who had a GI T-cell lymphoma, gastrointestinal T-cell lymphoma. Really important to highlight that both of these patients, we did actually document and show that the CAR construct was present in the T-cell lymphoma, but also important to remember that these, both of these patients had other sort of genetic abnormalities seen on whole genome sequencing, so that they had certain oncogenes which were present even prior to the CAR T cells, And whether or not this predisposed them to develop these T-cell lymphomas is something I think we all are going to have to study and follow patients for. So having the discussion with the patient is really important, trying to highlight the fact that these are rare, rare problems, but that they can occur. And as we use more of these modalities going forward, I think for us, it is incumbent upon us to follow patients. That's why we have long-term follow-up on all CAR T-cell studies and continue to study these and continue to report them so that we better understand them. Now, the issue of how do you counsel patients with CAR T-cells versus bispecifics, I think completely different issues. I think the bispecifics, the way the field has developed came after CAR T-cells. So we don't have a long enough follow-up on those patients. We don't know what their risk of second cancers is. And I think we are going to continue to follow these patients. But I think when I talk to a patient, I present both CAR T-cells and bispecifics as options. There is the benefits of CAR T-cells in that it being a one-off treatment without necessarily being on anything after. And then there's always the potential of going on to a bispecific. I don't think we have a lot of information on patients who've had a bispecific before, followed by a CAR T-cell. There's a little bit of data in the real world, but the one concern that we all have is if we give the bispecific first, would we be exhausting the T-cells, right, and would we be able to generate good CARs? So I think having these discussions with our patients is really important, and then meeting a patient where they are in their journey and then making a collective decision with them is what we end up doing in practice.
This is very, very well stated. And to touch on a topic that you briefly mentioned earlier, I think I know what you'll say, but I want to hear it from you. You know, theoretically, we have the technology, theoretically, to check to see if patients have clonal hematopoiesis or T-cell malignancies before, or T-cell, I should say, risk factors or T-cell, you know, aberrations in the DNA of their T-cells. I presume you'd say that we're not at a point yet where we're using that to decide who gets CAR-T and who doesn't for myeloma.
I don't think we are at that point just as yet, Rahul. We are checking, and you know, we do whole genome sequencing on patients, and there's some hint that if you have a chip-like signature or clonal hematopoiesis, will you be at a higher risk? Well, the risk of these second cancers is so low to begin with, and the risk of clonal hematopoiesis in our patient population can be significantly high. So can we then not give these very effective treatments to the majority of patients because of the small risk is something we all struggle with. I do think having the discussion is absolutely important, though.
Very, very well stated. I love that quote. I agree. Yeah, very rare complication, but very common risk factor. So there's more we need to study to understand who's at risk for this. And as you said, why? Is it the CAR T, or more likely is it the prior transplant, the prior lenalidomide, the prior everything else that they've had? You mentioned the idea of long-term follow-up. So maybe I'll close by just asking, you know, because patients obviously ask, and you know, the media has been asking, are we underreporting this risk of T-cell malignancies or second malignancies after cancer? And so can you speak a little bit to the LTFU program that you have, for example, at Mass General, and has anything changed about it in the last year since these new box warnings have come to light, or pretty much the same system as before?
Well, I think it's the same system as before. Whenever you use a genetic therapy, we follow patients for beyond 15 years, as you know. And, you know, that's an ongoing process. We're doing it on and off a clinical trial, Rahul. And I think all centers, as is yours, doing it as well. And I think that is not going to change, because together we have to learn about these rare complications. I think it's absolutely important that we acknowledge that these can occur. I'm actually, you know, interestingly surprised that we don't see more of these, right? I would have expected to see more viral insertion, you know, insertion of the CAR construct. And interestingly, you see it so rarely. So even trying to understand that, to me as a researcher, as a clinical trialist, is critical. And I think the longer we follow patients and really report these when they occur is going to be important, as opposed to becoming, you know, the one thing I think we should take away from this is these are rare. These should not scare people away from therapies such as CAR T cells. And we, as investigators and researchers, are doing due diligence in trying to follow patients very, very carefully in the rare event that this happens.
Absolutely so. Very well stated. And I hadn't thought of it that way. You're right. You would expect more issues to develop with any kind of gene therapy. And I think it's a testament to the early gene therapy efforts in treating SCID in the, 20 years ago, that we had all these cases of secondary cancers from insertional mutagenesis. And we've come a long way since then. This is excellent. And I appreciate these words of wisdom. Any parting words, for, physicians or for patients who are listening to this, who are thinking about moving their patients to CAR T earlier? You kind of touched on this being a very rare side effect. Anything else that you would add?
I think the earlier you refer patients, we always say this because, things like CAR T cells requires planning. As you know, Rahul, we need to have good control of the disease, need to have 4 to 6 weeks of a lead time to be able to get these effective treatments to our patients. So early referral is a good idea. If you see things like cytopenias, which are protracted, or you see prolonged side effects, which are typically not seen, referring back to the CAR T cell center so that we can actually do these investigations. For example, the GI cell lymphoma, such a rare occurrence, but if you see chronic diarrhea in somebody, which is way out of the window of what you would expect, I think referring back to that CAR T cell center is really important so that we don't miss some of these toxicities.
Thank you, Nupur. That's very well stated. Yeah, it makes up for a good social media quotes here. One, if it recurs, you should refer early to get these patients on the queue for CAR T therapy ahead of time. And two, as you said, if you see something, say something in terms of unusual side effects. Dr. Rajai, thank you again for your time. This has been really eye-opening even for me and hopefully for our audience as well. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening. This was a joint endeavor by ASTCT Talks, as well as Oncology on the Go, as well as Cancer Network. So thanks to them for organizing this. My name is Dr. Banerjee. Thanks all for listening and have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We hope you found our discussions enlightening and relevant, offering you a deeper understanding of the present and future of cancer treatment and research. Make sure to join us again for more insightful episodes as we continue to bring you expert opinions and the latest developments from the forefront of oncology and hematology. Please subscribe and leave reviews wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. For additional resources and episodes, visit our websites at www.cancernetwork.com and www.astct.org.